Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs, chapter 6, beginning with verse 16. I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. There are six things which the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are making haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and a man who sows discord among brothers. When Colleen babysat back in Alamosa in the mid-80s, a lot of the charges that she had were small toddlers. And it seemed that we were forever running around the house trying to get them to spit something out. How the toddlers are. It seems that their greatest sense is the sense of taste, and everything goes into their mouth. You see this little fella about 2 years old, and he'd have cheeks puffed out like chipmunks. Run up to him, "What's that you've got in your mouth? Spit that out." And toddlers are noted for choking on things. Well, this morning's lesson is entitled, "What's That You've Got in Your Mouth?" Is it an instrument of consolation, or is it a sword? Is it something that is used to comfort or to cut? Our tongues. Have you ever been around somebody that is so potty-mouthed? That in itself is a descriptive term, isn't it? So filthy that you wonder if they eat with the same thing. How can they be as disrespectful, as crude, as they are? It's hard for me, being a preacher. I'm sure that my experience might be a little more unique than yours, but it's hard for me to be around someone that just can't control what they say. And I think we can recognize that when what's coming out of someone's mouth is a cursing or a blasphemy or something that is vulgar. But I wonder sometimes if we recognize it in ourselves whenever we use our tongues improperly to gossip or to spread rumors or to say things about other people that are unkind. Turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of James. The Bible has much to say about the tongue. And it's worthy for us to be reminded from time to time. Careful. There's that old saying that we learned on the playground, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." I don't know that there's more of a false statement that's ever made than that one. Words do hurt. Words do damage. And they are to be weighed and to be spoken carefully. Starting with verse 1, James chapter 3. "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness. For we all make many mistakes, and if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. If we put bits into the mouths of horses that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come forth blessings and cursings. My brethren, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives? Or a grapevine, figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Did you see the pictures? James says the tongue is like a fire. If used improperly, it's like a match thrown into a dry forest or a cigarette butt out a window. And behold how great a flame so small a fire kindleth. He says it's like a serpent, venomous and strong, deadly in its effects. The Bible goes on to say that rash words are like sword thrusts. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 and 19, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise man brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Now, I hate to think of being stabbed in the back, but you've heard that phrase before, haven't you? Ate you, Brute? The concept of being stabbed in the back is that idea of turning my back on someone I trust and they turn around and slay me. So it is, the Bible says, with the things we say, if we're not careful. They're like sword thrusts. They're like a serpent's bite. They're like a fire in a dry forest. But what about the things that come from a wise man's mouth? He says the tongue brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever. Stay with me in James. Let's go to chapter 1. Verse 26. What I say affects my relationship, not simply with you, but with my God. My tongue can interfere with my religion. If any man thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. A man who doesn't control what he says, James says, is not in a right relationship with God. That applies to women as well. Any man who does not bridle his tongue deceives himself if he thinks God doesn't take notice. Any woman who says things that are hurtful and unnecessary about others, or gossips, or spreads rumors, is taken into account by God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, and every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be testified, and by thy words thou shalt be. What if I had a little book up here? And I told you that everything you said this week has been recorded here. Just the things you said, not the things you thought. Just the things you said. Would you be happy for me to begin bringing and broadcasting? Would you feel almost apprehensive? If you remember everything I say down, every idle word that men should speak, they shall give an account thereof to the day of death. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be. God hears everything, doesn't he? Jesus, whenever he was talking about the Pharisees, said of them that they breathe out threatenings and murder because they reveal that from the heart comes forth speech. The things that I say, I may excuse and say, well, that was a fit of temper, or that was in the heat of the moment. Jesus says, no, don't make excuses for what you say. They simply reveal what you think. What you speak simply is evidence of what's inside. Is not the lemon sour before it's squeezed? By thy words thou shalt be justified. Vain religion That passage that we read in Proverbs said that there were seven things that God hated. And it's like he hit the tongue as he's moving through, the lying tongue, but then he has to come back and pick up on it again. Out of the seven things that God hates, three of them have to be with the tongue. Isn't that remarkable? That's quite a percentage. Almost half deal with what is revealed by my speech from my heart. He was sorry for what he said. He saw that it hurt. And he came to the old wise men of the village. And he said, I said some things about a sister that I shouldn't have. They weren't true. And I see now that it's hurt her. And I wish to repent. The wise old man said, well, I want you to do this for me. I want you to take your feather pillow from your house, and I want you to cut it open. And I want you to take a feather from that pillow for every doorstep in town. And place that feather on the doorstep, and then come back to me when you're done. So the young man thought that was crazy, but he did it. He ripped open his pillow, and he placed a feather on every doorstep in town. When he returned to the old sage, he said, I've done that, now what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go back, and I want you to gather every feather. He said, that's impossible. The wind has been pouring. Those feathers are everywhere. There's no way I can gather even just a small percentage of the feathers. And the old man said, so it is with your words. Once said, they're lost to you. Boys flying kites haul in their white-winged birds. But you can't do that when you're flying words. Thoughts unexpressed may sometimes fall back dead. That God himself can't kill them once they've been said. My words may come back to haunt me or to glorify God. It all depends on what I say. If you are tempted to reveal a tale to you someone has told about another, make it pass before you speak three gates of gold. First, is it true? And in your mind, give honest answers. The next, is it needful? Then, is it kind? If to reach your lips at last it passes through these gateways three, then you may tell the tale, nor fear, what the result of speech may be. Next time you want to say something about someone, first ask yourself, is it true? If you don't know, don't say it. If you sit down and examine, do I really know this to be a fact? Quite often that would take care of most of the things that we say about others. I really don't know. I've just heard. First, is it true? Second, then, if it is true, it passes that gate, then make it pass the next one. Is it needful? Is what I'm about to say to someone else, about someone else, a brother or sister, is it necessary? And then last, is it kind? Am I really thinking of the other person's interest? Am I laying what's best for them to heart? Is it true? Is it needful? Is it kind? There was an old owl who lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that? One wise man said that gossipers have something in common with the monkey. They both carry tails. More people are run down every year by gossiping tongues than by automobiles. Set a watch before my mouth, O Lord. Guard me in the things that I say. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 19 and verse 14. So why do we have tongues? They're so dangerous. They're so easy to use inappropriately. They do start forest fires where there was no need. They do slay the innocent. They do cause those who are bitten thereby to die of the venom, poison,
So why did God give me a tongue? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3. Beginning with verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3. Do not return evil for evil, or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you have been called, that you may obtain a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do right. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. Why did God give me a tongue, if it's so dangerous? So that I might use my tongue wisely. So that I might be a blessing. So I might speak the things that God has revealed. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, that he yearns to be taught by God, to receive the things that God has in store for him. This is Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 and following. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him that is weary. Morning by morning he wakens. He wakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God helps me. Therefore I am not confounded. Isaiah says, it's my joy each morning to listen to the things that God has for me to hear. He says he's giving me that which is the tongue of the wise, so that I might be strong in times of persecution. Morning by morning he wakens my ear. When my heart is full of that which God has revealed, when I walk in the things that he has taught, then not only is my heart right, my motivation's focused in the proper direction, but that which I speak is a blessing to those that are around me. Yes, the tongue can be devastating. It can be destroying. It can be a worthless member. It can be that which is set on fire by hell, or it can be that which is touched by God. A blessing, a consolation, a comfort, a joy, a hope. Isaiah says in chapter 54, verse 13, all your sons shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the prosperity of your sons. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Those who are taught by God have confidence in this life. Isaiah says to this man, or to these people, he says, when you really are blessed, it's when God has taught your children. Maybe that's why Paul wrote, train up your child. Nurture them. Admonish them in the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6. For then the blessings of God are certain. The psalmist said in Psalms 143 and verse 8, teach me the way that I should go. Let me hear in the morning of thy steadfast love, for in these I put my trust. Teach me the way that I should go, for to thee I lift up my soul. My Lord has given me abilities and talents to walk, to talk. My Lord has given each of us abilities of health. He's given us the ability to speak as well. How we use it, though, is our choice. Will we use it wisely. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and alluding to his own demise, that it would soon be his time to leave this world, he said to Timothy, "This is most important. Remember this as you go through your life. You then, my son," verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." What if this notebook had Paul's name on it? The things that Paul said. Would he be ashamed? Would he cowl in its presence? Would he be afraid for it to be shared with others? No. Not that Paul never made mistakes, but Paul was intent on doing what in his life? He was able to say to his son Timothy, "Timothy, I want you to remember everything that I have told you. I want you to recall everything that you ever heard me speak before other witnesses. And I want you to take that and pass it on to others, to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." What was Paul doing with his tongue? What was coming forth out of his heart? What were the things that were revealed to the witnesses in his presence? The teachings of the Lord. "Morning by morning, he wakens my ear. He has given me the tongues of the wise." Paul would say, "I have been a vessel for God. What he has laid on my heart, I have given to you, Timothy. Take that which you have heard from me before many witnesses. Give it to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Why do we have tongues? Because that is the way that God has designed us to pass on the good news, the healing news. In Proverbs chapter 12, beginning with verse 18. We mentioned this earlier about the one who uses his tongue incorrectly. "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." There are many things opened by mistake, but none so often as one's mouth. Every one of us possess two ears and only one tongue. The ears are open. The tongue is encased with teeth. The ears weren't made to shut. Mouth is. How do I use that which God has given me? James said simply, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Does it not hurt when someone says evil things, especially about you? Words will never hurt me? No, that's not true. And my words will someday come back to me, depending upon how I've used them. "And every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." In what way have I used one of the most precious gifts that God has given to me? If my heart is not full of his will and his teachings and love for my fellow man, then I will be overcome by the temptation to say things that I should. I can be as easily a buzzard in the sky looking for putrid meat on a field of flowers as the next man, seeing the faults of others, overlooking all the good. Or I can be like Jesus, who could talk to the woman at the well, who had five husbands and was living with a man that was not her husband, and see the bloom of righteousness, the possibilities of reconciliation. I express myself with my tongue. Yes, but really I reveal myself. Set a watch, O Lord, before my lips. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to you for being so loving, for being so merciful. None of us deserve your graciousness. We thank you so much for Jesus, for his willingness to die upon the cross, to take my place, because I know that's where my sins deserve to put me. Father, we know that in having salvation and being born again through the watery grave, through faith in your Son's name and confessing that we believe that he is your Son, that we were raised sinless and spotless in you. But we know too that you remind us that we were raised to walk a new life, that our old self, as Paul says, was crucified, that we might live for you. So often, Father, we have failed you, we have disappointed you, we have not been the wise men and women that we should be. We have said things that are hurtful. Please forgive us. And help us, Lord, to renew our commitment to you, to speak only those things that are true, that are needful, that are kind, so that in the last day, when we stand before you, others will stand beside us, because to you we have been true, and we have spoken with the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom that comes only from you. Set a watch before our lips. Guard us in what we say. And may the words and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you're not yet a child of God, you've not yet experienced the watery grave and had your sins washed away, or having been baptized, wandered from the truth, struggling with sin, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?